You'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. I appreciate Elijah reading from Acts 16, 19 through 31. He read that because that's what I told him to read. As soon as he started reading, I thought, well, I got the right chapter and the right verses, but I got the wrong book. But that's okay. We're going to read from Luke chapter 16 ourselves. But Elijah, you did a wonderful job of reading from Acts chapter 16. And you know what? It's good for us to hear that as well as others. And it's good for me to tell you that you better tell me to double check and make sure I have the right book that we're reading from. But we're going to be studying from Luke chapter 16 verses 19 through 31. We're happy that you're here. I encourage everyone to follow along and listen as we study tonight. We do have visitors. We're happy that you've come as well. What I want to do, as I said this morning, is I want us to look at these verses and see what a rich man saw himself from Hades. Let's just read, beginning with verse 19, and read down through verse 31, and we'll come back and we'll look at verses as we go through our study tonight. But beginning in verse 19, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those who want to come from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said to him, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. I want us just to make an observation or two before we get really into our lesson. And the first observation is this, and that is that the rich man was conscious after death. As we read the events that are told here, he's in Hades, the realm of the dead. He's in torment in the realm of the dead. And what we're able to observe is that he could see, he could talk, he could feel, he could hear. And that is a fact that the materialist refused to see. This rich man, he was able to do these things. He could see Abraham, and he could see Lazarus afar off. And yet, what I want us to observe and to consider tonight is he saw far more than that. The rich man saw some facts that he had overlooked before. And as we study the lesson, what I'm hoping that we will do is this will remind us of things probably every one of us know. But there are things that we need to think about now. Because when we die, it'll be too late to think about those things. So let's just talk about some things or some facts that this rich man had overlooked before. In the first place, he saw the horror of being lost. Look back at verse 23. And being in torments, in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And so what the rich man saw, understood, was that Hades, the realm of torment in Hades, it was a horribly punishing place. And you know, that's something that so often we may not like to think about. Others may not like to think about, but we need to give that thought. How horrible it will be to be lost. He is so concerned. Verse 28 says, For I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. What I know is this, rich man, when he ended up in torment, he realized the terribleness of it, the horror of it, and he wanted his brothers not to come there. He was now reaping what he had sown. Verse 25 says, But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. I'm reminded of Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. Where the Apostle Paul says, Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. But whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will reap of the Spirit everlasting life. We will reap what we sow. And this rich man, he was reaping exactly what he had sown. Not only was he reaping what he had sown, he was getting the just wages for sin. In the book of Romans in chapter 6, verse 23, the Apostle Paul by inspiration writes and says, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He got the just wages that he had worked for. And one of the things that I think often and for which I am so thankful is the fact that we serve a merciful God, and really what we deserve is death. But because of his mercy, if we will meet his conditions of forgiveness, he will forgive. But once we die, then that opportunity is over. Let me suggest the second thing that this rich man saw. And that is, he saw his real condition. Did you notice what it said there in the very beginning as it's talking about the rich man in verse 19? And you see the description of him here. He's described as being rich. He's described as being clothed in purple and fine linen, and he's faring sumptuously every day. And I guess he must have thought, and others that looked at him may have thought this, well, he has it made. He has money. He has good clothes. He has what he needs to eat. And then I think about Tim. I'm rich. Not by some people's standards, but I'm rich, even materially. I have fine clothes to wear. I have food to eat. You know, that's not what really counts, is it? What this rich man saw was is that he was the real poor beggar, not Lazarus. From a spiritual standpoint, he was the poor beggar. I'm reminded of what is said in Revelation 3, verse 17 concerning the church at Laodicea. You remember what they thought of themselves and then what they're told their condition actually was. In verse 17, because you say, and here's what they thought, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And when I look at that passage, I think, here's the rich man. Here's what he must have thought about himself. Where in reality, he was wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. It's not material things that's going to cause us to lose our soul or save our soul. It's the trust that we either do not put in those things or we do put in those things. And here, this rich man, what he was begging for at this time was for Lazarus just to take his finger and dip it in water and give him some on his tongue. Material things are immaterial when it comes to serving God acceptably. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let's make sure that what we're doing is laying up our treasure in heaven. Where we're laying up treasure, that's where our heart will be. And this man's heart was in the wrong place. And when it comes to material things, you know as well as I do, we can amass and we can amass and we can amass, and when we die, we're going to leave with exactly what we brought into this world. And that is nothing. Paul says that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And so here, this rich man, he saw that he was the real poor beggar, not Lazarus. And also, he realized that he was helpless. And not only helpless, he was hopeless. Let me read from verse 24 again. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those who want to come from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. What a helpless and hopeless situation this rich man was in. And he didn't understand that until it was too late. A third thing that this rich man saw, and that is he saw the lost. Verse 28 again. For I have five brothers, that send him that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. He had seen his brothers before, but he had not looked at them as lost souls. But in torment, in Hades, what he realized was his brothers, they were lost. And he did not want them to be where he was. In connection with that, the fact that he was lost and he saw his brothers now as being lost, I think about Jesus. And when Jesus was on this earth, what Jesus saw, he saw people as lost people. And not only did he see them as lost people, he taught his disciples to see others as lost people as well. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Bible says concerning Jesus himself, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Again, when Jesus saw people, he saw people with souls, and he saw people who were lost. And those who are lost eternally will spend eternity in torment. He taught his disciples in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. He says to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Again, his disciples are instructed, you go and you teach people. And the goal is to save their soul because they're lost. And those who do not believe will be condemned. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. And then you look at the early church. The early church saw the lost. And because those who were Christians in the first century saw that others were lost, what they did was they made efforts to teach the lost. In Acts chapter 8, verse 4, after the persecution came upon Jerusalem and Christians are scattered, the Bible says, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." Why would they preach the word to people? Because that's what enables someone to understand what they need to do in order to be saved. That's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus taught his disciples to do. That's what his disciples taught other Christians to do. And they did it to this extent. When you come to Colossians 1 verse 23, "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." This rich man in Hades, what he realized was people have souls. And he knew that his brothers were lost and he wanted them to be taught. And that's exactly why Jesus came to this earth, was to teach the lost. And to teach his disciples to go and teach the lost. And they taught Christians to go and teach the lost. And when you come to us today, we must see our friends and neighbors as lost without the gospel. Is that the way we see our neighbors and our friends who are lost? Who do not have the gospel? Do we see them as being lost? You know, if we don't see them as being lost, then there's not really much motivation for us to want to teach them. We first have to see our friends and our neighbors who have not been obedient to the gospel of Christ as lost souls. And if we see our friends and our neighbors and our family as lost souls, then what we would naturally want to do is to teach them the truth. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's going to respond favorably, but we must teach people the gospel. We must teach people the truth. We must see others as being lost. And there's an urgency that we should have in order to go and teach those people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Here is the fate of us if we do not know God and if we do not obey the gospel and do others. Paul says in verse 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." You know, that ought to shake us when we read that. The Lord is coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says that, and Jesus had already taught this, they'll be punished forever. It will be an everlasting destruction, separated from the Lord. And there's not a more dreadful state in which a person can be. Let me suggest a fourth thing, and this will be the final thing. This rich man saw the value of the written Word of God. Verse 29 of Luke chapter 16. Abraham said to him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "No, Father Abraham. But if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." And you know, if you were just to stop right there, probably you'd be thinking like I'd be thinking, man, that's right. That's right. If somebody would come back from the dead and talk to them, they will respond. That's not right. He said to him, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead." We mentioned this morning, somebody says, "Well, you know, if God could just speak to me directly, then I would believe." No. No. We can go one further than that. If somebody were to come from the dead and speak to you, he mentions Moses and the prophets. They were living under the Old Testament Scripture. What Abraham is telling this rich man is that Moses and the prophets were sufficient then. And an additional miracle would be unnecessary. Superfluous. There's a word. For us today, we have the apostles and the prophets. We are under the new covenant, the New Testament scriptures, and they're sufficient now. And if somebody says, "Well, you know, if I just had just some other proof," and here's what I think. You think about Jesus as He walked on this earth. And as He performed miracles so that people would know He was who He said He was. Everybody just, they fell down and they were obedient to Him. No, that's not what happened. People were looking for signs. Additional signs. And what they had was the Lord Himself walking among them. The written word might have helped the brothers if the rich man had taught them while he was living. Now it was too late. I wonder what he would have given for just one more opportunity to sit down and to have a Bible study with him. But it was too late. He saw the horror of being lost, but it was too late. He saw his real condition, but again, it was too late. He saw the lost and knew what they needed, but it was too late for him to help. And they had all that they needed. What they needed to do was to respond to it. And he saw the value of the written Word of God. We need to see these things now, while we can do something about them. And what we need to do is we need to do all that we can now to educate ourselves, to learn God's Word, to be obedient to it, and to teach others the Word of God so that they too can escape eternal destruction, eternal punishment. We must decide now which side of the great gulf we will spend eternity. It'll be either in paradise, eventually in heaven, or it'll be in torment, eventually everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. But that decision has to be made now while we have time and while we have the opportunity to do so. Let's not wait until it's too late to see what we really need to see and to see ourselves for who we are, as well as to understand now is the time for us to make preparation so that we can be in Abraham's bosom rather than in torment. We're going to sing the song that has been announced. We do this as an opportunity for each of us to consider our soul's condition. There may be something amiss in our lives that as Christians we can take care of between us and God by going to Him in prayer, acknowledging our wrongdoings, making up our minds that we're going to change, we're going to repent of that, asking God's forgiveness and asking His help. If you're not a Christian, then what the Bible instructs that a person must do, we read from Mark chapter 16, verse 16, where Jesus said to teach, go and teach the people in the world. And He says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. The disciples did that. On the day of Pentecost, as they preached there in Acts chapter 2, and people were convicted in their hearts that they had crucified the Son of God, and they wanted to know, what must we do? And Peter told those people who were believing people, he said, you repent and you be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins. And we read just a few verses later, in verse 47, that the Lord was adding to the church daily those who were being saved. Who was being saved? It was those who had gladly received His word. Those who had repented and had been baptized for the forgiveness, for the remission of their sins. That's who was being saved. That's who was being added to the Lord's church. And that's exactly what a person has to do today to be saved. If we can encourage you in doing that, assist you in doing that, won't you come?